February 22nd is the last Sunday in February. Next Sunday is March. As we march into spring. In this last book of the Bible, Revelation of Jesus Christ, we have a personal manuscript written by the hand of God to each one of us. So as we read our copy of it, we receive word from God that pertains directly to each one of us. And what you may receive might be different than the person next to you as to what they receive. But that's the Holy Spirit of God. So we have the revelation of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ. The words of this book are so important. I don't want you to settle for just sitting there listening to me read it. You have to read them yourself. That way you get the full blessing of the book. Because it's the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. The vision that John saw in chapter 12, and we did that last week, while he was in heaven, now shifts to his vision on the earth. In chapter 13, Revelation, the middle of the tribulation period, John is going to be shown two of Satan's powerhouses in this chapter. He's going to be shown the Antichrist, and he's going to be shown the false prophet. And if you've never read the book before, you're going to hear some things that maybe they're going to astonish you a little bit, but don't be alarmed. Let's go. Chapter 13, verse 1. John is speaking here. He says, "Then I," meaning John, "stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." Now, I don't know what translations everybody has out there, but there's some out there that say the dragon stood on the sand of the sea. I don't agree with that rendering, because it makes no sense that Satan stands on the shore of the sea, but it's John who sees the beast. So, in looking at the original Greek text, it clearly states, "It is I, John, standing on the sand, looking and seeing the beast rise out of the ocean." From a place identified with evil and chaos, a beast comes forth. So what are you picturing? Are you picturing some monster coming up out of the ocean? I'm not really sure that that's what John means here. Quite often, the sea symbolizes the masses of people. So from one of the nations, from the masses of people, Satan's going to bring forth his super leader that we call Antichrist. Now, if you actually look up the word beast, it says wild, dangerous animal. Well, John calls him a beast. He doesn't call him a dragon. He calls him a beast because that creature represents someone that is separate from Satan. They're two different people. But yet he's controlled by Satan. And he's very closely identified with him. He is not the dragon, but he is like him. Because the dragon also had seven heads and ten horns back in Revelation chapter 11. Well, where do we go? Well, let's understand what the title Antichrist means. What does Antichrist mean? Well, prefix anti, that can mean opposite of. It can mean instead of. Now, most people focus on the idea that Antichrist is going to be the opposite of Jesus. So the Antichrist, they think, is going to appear as an extremely evil person. When Jesus went around doing good, Antichrist is going around doing bad. And Jesus' character and personality was beautiful and attractive. And Antichrist is going to be ugly and repulsive. Jesus spoke the truth. Antichrist is going to speak only lies, opposite of Jesus. It's not going to be that way. The Antichrist is going to be more of a instead of Jesus, not opposite, instead of. He's going to look wonderful. He's going to be charming. He's going to be successful. He's going to appear like an angel of light. In this sense, the Antichrist will be a satanic Messiah. Instead of the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. So even though he's going to be a man, he's going to be a wild animal under the control of Satan. Just as Jesus is God in the flesh, this beast will be Satan in a human body. This one beast that John just saw coming up takes the place of the four beasts that Daniel saw back in Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel saw four beasts rising from the sea, the first like a lion, the second like a bear, the third like a leopard, and the fourth was a great and terrible beast with ten horns. That's what Daniel saw. Here in chapter 13, if I'll go there, seeing how I'm in chapter 12, those four are combined into the appearance of this one beast. Look at verse 2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. So the qualities of this Antichrist are indicated by animals, wild animals. Lion denotes lordly dominion and rule. The lion is what? King of the jungle, they say. The bear suggests a crushing force and tenacity of purpose. You ever try to stop a bear if he wants to go somewhere? The leopard is distinguished by his swiftness and bloodthirstiness. If you read ahead in chapter 17, we're told the seven heads, they're seven mountains or seven regions, and the ten horns are ten kings. So there's going to arise on the earth a ten-nation federation, or ten kingdoms, or whatever you want to call it. Daniel says the same vision. the Antichrist will come up among these 10 kings, and he says he's going to overpower 3 of them, and then finally the remaining 7 give up their power and give it to the Antichrist. And he becomes the head of the whole world government. Now, sad to say, well, maybe not, I do not think the United States is going to be a world player during that time. I think Europe is going to replace America as a dominion world power. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? If the heads are kingdoms or divisions, and the beast is one of them, it says he receives a deadly wound. Is it possible that Satan, with God's permission, resurrects him from the dead? Or does the Lord bring him back to fulfill his purposes? I don't know. There's a lot that isn't clear in Revelation. We were first told the beast comes up out of the bottomless pit. And then we're given more information that he rose up out of the sea. We're told he gets a mortal wound and then he's made alive again. And it's hard to explain all this stuff. Sometimes we can't, but we know one thing for sure. It's going to happen, just as God said it's going to happen. Just the way God, John recorded it. It's going to come to pass. Then there's going to be this great wonder about him, saying, how can this be? Who can resist him is what the world is saying. And they worship him. And that's what Satan wants all along. He wants to be worshipped. He presented that to Jesus, did he not? In Matthew, it says, devil took Jesus up on this exceedingly high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, if you will bow down to me and worship me, I'll give you all these things. And now he gets to be worshipped. Verse 4 says, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast. Because Satan's throne is here on earth. He is the prince of this world, prince of the power of the air and earth. And he will give this person, this beast, this Antichrist, he will give him power and authority, it says, to subdue 3 strong kingdoms of the 10. So much so that the other 7 give up and say, who can make war with the beast? And he gives them more stuff. Verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was, verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Almost all dictators have risen to power by controlling people with their words. Adolf Hitler memorized crowds with his speeches. So Satan is going to make this beast, this Antichrist, a great orator whose addresses will convince the people and blaspheme God. And since we know Satan has been recently cast out of heaven at this time, he can't go back to heaven to accuse us. All he can do is blaspheme God. He can't do anything else. He can't do anything without God's permission. We know that. We read the book of Job. We read in Luke 22:31. What does that say? Luke 17:22-31. See, I hadn't read that ahead of time. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith not fail. So Jesus did not allow him to take Simon and sift him like wheat. And he won't allow the devil to take us and sift us like wheat. And the beast's authority is going to last for the 3.5 years, second half of the tribulation period. And there's going to be war. God's going to permit the Antichrist to fight against his people, the saints, and defeat them. This war was predicted in Daniel chapter 7. Very close relationship between Daniel and Revelation. It says in Daniel 7 verse 2, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, Daniel says. Well, if the devil through the Antichrist is prevailing against the saints, that's not the church. That's why I say the church is not here on earth during the 7-year tribulation. Because Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the devil can't prevail against the church. So these are people that have decided to accept Christ, who were, they were formerly unbelievers. But during this 7 tribulation period, they decided to accept Christ. Maybe as a result of the 2 witnesses that came forth and witnessed. Maybe as a result of the 144,000 that witnessed. But in the tribulation period, there will be such a turnaround of people coming to Christ. Now keep in mind, the beast is a counterfeit. The world that would not receive Christ will receive the Antichrist. Verse 8, all who dwell on the earth, these are unbelievers, will worship him, whose names have not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everyone who follows Jesus Christ has his name or her name written in the Lamb's book of life. When was your name written? Scripture says it was written before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? God knew you would come to accept Christ before you were born. The work of Jesus, him coming, a man, dying on the cross for our sins, was ordained before the foundation of the world. Peter. 1 Peter 1:20 says that. God chose his redeemed, that's us, before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. The kingdom of heaven was prepared for the redeemed before the foundation of the world. Matthew 25. I know people are thinking, how can this be? I only found Christ a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. That's what Jeremiah says, 1:5. He knew every single mistake I was going to make. He knew exact moment I would come to the fork in the road in my life and choose to follow Christ. And God's sitting back smiling, I knew that. Because he knows all things. He sees our life from the beginning to the end, all in one shot. Sees it all at once. He knows where you're going to be next year. He wasn't surprised at the fall of Adam because he had redemption already planned out before he created Adam. Jesus warned each of the seven churches at the end of each letter with what? He who has an ear, let him hear. And we have this warning in verse 10. He who leads in captivity will go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And this is the patience and the faith of the saints, it says. The actions of this beast are not without consequences. And even though all this is prophesied, it doesn't lessen our personal responsibility. If we work for Satan and we lead others into captivity, then we're going into captivity. God will measure unto us exactly as we measure to other people. And it says that other places in the Bible. In Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give, and it's going to be given to you. And it's going to be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it's measured back to you. That's why he was telling everybody, have just measures. Let your ephod be a correct weight measure. Because if you cheat your fellow man, you're going to get it the same way. And he's not talking about money here. He's talking about us, our life. So if you want the old cliche, do unto others as you want done unto you. God says the way you do, the way you treat others, that's how you're going to be treated. If we show compassion and kindness to our fellow man, God's going to open up those showers of blessings every morning for us. All right, we come to another character in the tribulation period. Verse 11. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs. And he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Talking about martyrs here. We're talking about the false prophet here, coming up out of the masses. The Greek word for earth is G-E. And although it can be translated, and quite often is translated, to mean soil or a region, or the entire globe, maybe, it also can be translated to mean the occupants of all those places. And Jesus told us to beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep clothing. One thing about false prophets is they don't look like false prophets. Satan does not look like the characters of Satan. He does not have horns. He does not have a tail. And he doesn't carry a pitchfork. And he certainly is not dressed in a red suit. He is someone who is beautiful and soft, very charismatic, in speaking. Why don't you just go ahead and enjoy yourself, he says. Drink of all this pleasure that you can till you're full. That's why he's able to deceive us. He's not ugly. We would recognize him. So now we have what I call the satanic trinity. The dragon, or Satan, he's the counterfeit father. We have the beast, or the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ. And we have the false prophet, the counterfeit Holy Spirit. I say that because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit here is to always glorify Jesus. And it leads us to trust and obey him and worship Christ. The false prophet points to the Antichrist and his image, compelling people to worship Satan and the beast. And he's going to have the personality of a lamb, cute and soft and cuddly, but he's going to have the voice of a dragon, a great deceiver, and all the world's going to listen to him. When Jesus was here, the Jewish leaders asked him for a sign. And then we will believe. But he refused. He said, no sign will be given you other than the sign of Jonah. But this false prophet is going to perform miracles. He's going to call fire down from heaven. If you bounce over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 just for a second, down around verse 9, we are told where it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, lies, and signs, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not believe the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And then Paul gives us this 11, verse 11. For this reason, the reason is they did not love the truth, right? And because they did not love the truth, it says God will send them strong delusion, and they would believe the lie, that they may be condemned. That passage right there is an urgency for everybody to come now and accept Jesus Christ. Because now you still can. But But that passage is saying there's coming a day. If you continue to push Christ aside and reject him and say, I'll accept him later. I'll accept him later. Maybe during the tribulation period, I'll come to accept him. I still have time. It says God's going to close your eyes. You're not going to be able to see the truth. And you're going to believe that lie all the way to hell. That's exactly what that verse says. And this false prophet, energized by Satan, is going to perform such miracles that everybody's going to believe him. And they won't be able to see the truth. We're told in Deuteronomy, do not judge a prophet by his miracles. Don't judge him by his signs and wonders, it says. Judge him by his message. Is he speaking the truth? Does it confirm God's word? If it doesn't agree with God's word, Deuteronomy says, don't believe him. He's a false prophet. And somehow, this image of the beast becomes alive. I don't know how that is. It's breathing and it's speaking. Now, whether this is an actual life or is it an animated figure, is it a hologram, I don't know. But that talking image is going to demand worship. And anyone that does not worship him is going to be killed. Now, right now, we live in a relatively free country. But according to this scripture, there's coming a day we're going to have to make a choice. Do I follow Christ? Or do I die? Jesus says, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. He says, if you give up your life, you will have life. Verse 16 here tells us that he, we're talking about this beast and image and all that, causes all, small, great, rich, poor, free, slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Well, the Greek word for mark is karagma. It means a scratch or an etching or a stamp. Badge of servitude. It could be a tattoo. I don't know. But by taking that mark, it says you're pledging your allegiance to the Antichrist. Now, one thing it is not. It is not your debit card or your credit card. It is none of that. Is it a microchip? I don't know. Could be. I don't know. But if it's ordered by the Antichrist, that's the key. During the tribulation period, don't do it. Because we all have a Social Security number now. But that wasn't ordered by the Antichrist. And we need that number to work, to pay taxes. We love paying taxes. You need it to claim your children. As an exemption now, you never used to. But I think the last 10 years you did. But in Scripture here, it says if you don't have that mark, you can't buy, you can't sell. You can't buy gas, you can't buy food, you can't get clothes. So unmarked people, if they're not killed by the Antichrist, what happens to them? Well, maybe they just slowly starve to death. I don't know. Do I know who this 666 is? No. Do I care who this 666 is? No. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We're not followers of the beast. If we spend all our time, and there's a lot of people that do this, who the 666 is, and they take all these names, and they do the numeric comparison, and say, it's Trump. They're going to be so consumed in that when Jesus comes in the clouds to gather his church, they won't see him. Meditate on Christ. Get to know him inside and out. And you're going to recognize all his enemies. But there's times when God has reserved, for the time being, things to keep secret. So, this is one. We know that he has written on all his enemies, Mimi Tickle. You weighed in the balances, it says. He has numbered their days, and they will be finished, and his kingdom will endure forever. That's the kingdom I'm looking for. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us your word, that we may study it, meditate on it, that we may come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And that way, we will come to recognize the false one. Be with us now, Lord, as I know the times are coming short, and we look forward to you coming and gathering your church together. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.